This is Ian Unlock with Faith and Fitness, and we are here speaking with Bruce Gordon, who's the author of the new book coming out, As Long as I Have Breath. Bruce, good morning. How are you doing today?
I am doing well, Dino. You know, thank you.
Excellent, excellent. As I mentioned earlier, I've read the entire book. It is wonderful. This is definitely the population that I love working with as well, and so I'm really excited to speak with you. So I guess to kind of start, what was kind of the catalyst for this book, and kind of how did you come about writing it, and how did this all come about?
Well, I I really would go back to a mentor that I had, who approached me to help him through some with a leadership assessment. Dr. Roger Berkman. The Berkman Organization is based out of Houston, and Roger had called me out of the blue years back, and he was 79 years old, and he was a believer, and he said, I just feel there's more to do here, and it just went, it went totally against everything that we hear in society. Because at 55 up here, 55 plus, or the Freedom 55, is what everybody's working for. And so I spent 15 years with Roger, traveling the world with him, and then he passed away. He went home. And so that had such an impact on me. And then as I was thinking about this, I would receive calls or emails from friends who were retired, and I was not. I was still working and so on. And the core of the discussion is, Bruce, I need help to process with someone and don't know where to go. I'm retired, but I just don't have any purpose. I don't have any meaning. And one of the points here is a person said to me, you know, my cell phone doesn't ring anymore. And this was a leader that he was responsible for an organization that had 3,000 to 4,000 staff.
Wow.
And I said, you've got so much more to offer. And he said, I don't think people want me. I don't think the youth want me. And I said, that is such, you got the wrong paradigm here, because they do. They're just trying to figure out how to connect with you.
Yeah.
And so out of that, one person said, you know, there are books in aging, but they said, I don't need a book in aging. Rather, I need some short practical themes or stories or articles just to give me some perspective and maybe a few questions to reflect on. And that got me thinking. I talked to Roger Berkman a bit about it as well. And out of that came this book. I self-published one before, but then this one here was even more theme-driven. So that kind of was where it all came from.
In your book, I really liked about the idea of talking about the new kind of vision of what retirement is. And I was mentioning before, you know, a lot of people kind of spend their whole life working towards this idea of retirement and not having to work and all this free time. But then once they actually experience that, you know, 3 months in, you get all the traveling, the golfing in, and that lack of purpose and just what that does to a person. So could you talk a little bit about kind of that old model of retirement versus kind of where you're talking about going?
Well, it really is society. And it's relatively recent, because as I understand, the word retirement came out of, I think it was out of Europe and during the war years here, and because coming out of an agricultural society, primarily people just worked and society has built into this on the media as well, and so the concept is, it's all about you.
Yep.
That's the heart of it. It's all about you, and so you've earned it. You've paid your dues. It's now time for the younger generation to step up, and so get out of the way.
Yeah.
I've really struggled with that, and I really like the book that Richard Rohr has written on wise man, foolish man, or foolish man, wise man. It's interchangeable here. And where he says, you know, as we get to this age, which is the 55 plus, it's probably not the best, to start leading and taking on new organizations and new leadership roles, we are to be sages. We are to be alongside of those who are younger, not to disengage, but to engage even more, to be there to help them.
Yes.
And you know, I just love that. I'm honored. I'm very privileged to be alongside of a younger pastoral team here in Vancouver. We're a large church and trying to figure out what we're supposed to be doing in this pandemic time. But yeah. But I'm here for them. And even though some of them don't report to me, you know, they're in and out of my office and talking, and I'm able to speak into their lives. But the interesting part about it is I learn more, I think, than they do.
Yeah, that's always interesting about God's economy.
Yeah.
It's when you're giving, you also get more in return. Yeah, it's absolutely
incredible. Yeah. And I think we're moving into this, you know, with this paradigm shift, and I'm finding that more and more of my demographic are asking the questions, what else is there?
Yeah.
And we're living longer, you know, we've got our health. And now, even with the pandemic upon us, especially up here in Canada, you know, we're limited to be able to go down south, go to the U.S. In fact, I've got people who have places down in Scottsdale and so on, Palm Springs, and some of them are selling them, and they're rethinking what they're going to do with their life.
Wow.
And I think that's one of the positives coming out of this time, if there is such a thing as a positive of a pandemic, where people are being forced to rethink. And it's just a bit uncanny, as I've had people who have connected with my book saying, boy, Bruce, this is going to help me rethink some of the pieces that I need to process.
Wow. Yeah.
It is a wow.
Yeah. And that, I think a lot of good things about the book as well is people often think like they're alone in this, and they're an anomaly in feeling like this. And it's really more common than what people realize. And I think, you know, a couple of things I read, I really enjoyed about your book were, like one of the sayings you have in there is, we're training for reigning, and our work does not stop here. And the idea of just ceasing to work, when even in heaven, and when we go home, we'll be working there as well. And that impact of a diminished purpose and opportunity. And can you talk a little bit about what you've seen that do in individuals when you feel like you don't have that purpose anymore?
Well, I really do feel, you know, I've got one of the themes here of living in light of heaven.
Yes.
And you know, Dino, I have to say, I haven't done that very well. And maybe it's because as you get older, maybe you start to realize, you know, your mortality, like we're not immortal here. And that, but maybe it is. And that's good. You know, as I have people I know or friends who passed away, I really believe in that concept, training for reigning.
Yeah.
And I believe that we are being used here and empowered by the Holy Spirit to be able to, you know, to prepare in some ways for what's next.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to what's next. I kind of anticipate. I want to stay here as long as I can. And so I take my vitamins and do my exercises and all that. And,
exactly.
But I'm not afraid of it. And so I just am looking, and that's what I'm saying to the 55 plus group that I interact with, because at our church we probably have a group of, I don't know, 500-600 in that age group. Pretty significant, and I'm alongside of them, both my wife and I, Denise and I, and so we're trying to encourage them. Now is the time to be engaged. Yes, it's about capacity. It's about sustainability, because you can't run as hard as you used to, but just be thinking in terms of what purpose and meaning mean to you, and really, how can you connect with the younger generation?
Yeah.
And that was another piece that why I wrote this, because I said nobody is really intentionally trying to bridge the gap between the millennials, you know, the younger generation, with those who are older, with the boomers plus. And I said, well, maybe perhaps I could help be that bit of a bridge as well.
That's amazing. And we've seen that movement towards that intergenerational interaction. You know, and that's the irony is that when you have these older adults who have a wealth of experience, connections, and things they've established over a lifetime, and they have so much to share with the younger generation, and that's often the time when, you know, they're either, like you said, it's many times it can be selfish because it's the focus is on us and we want to get away and stop. But you're kind of at your peak value of all the things you've accomplished in your life and what you can speak into the next generation and help them do. You know, as you mentioned, finding that balance and, you know, with your capacity that has changed. And I think oftentimes many of the youth are intimidated or don't know how to connect. And that's something where as older adults can bridge that gap. But there is a wealth to share there and kind of empower the next generation.
Yeah. And I think also along that point, as I hear from those who work with youth, and that there's a thinking, which is wrong, from us who are older, that the younger generation don't want to hear from us.
Yeah.
And that is so wrong, because they do. And I have young people coming into the church here, and they say, Bruce, you've been down the road ahead of me.
Yes.
Like, just talk to me. Like, help me understand. You did you make any mistakes? And I said, well, how much time do you have?
Yeah.
And I said, he said, maybe you could give me some thoughts so I don't make the same mistakes. And I said,
exactly.
Let's talk.
Yeah.
Someone
walking down that road with you and saying, here's what I've experienced, and here's some of those pitfalls to avoid. But that's where I think it's almost like the enemy uses things to keep people from being effective for the kingdom. And one of those, it seems like, is that self-dialogue, that internal talk of where I'm too old, I have nothing to offer, the kids don't, you know, they don't value that. And that's something this book can speak to is, you know, the value and purpose you still have, even though you're 55 plus.
Yes.
That's stages that you're speaking of speaking into that next generation.
Yeah. I so agree, you know, and I think and I'm excited to see how it connects. And one of the points that I'm doing here, I mean, I don't have it figured out. Good gracious. I mean, I'm trying to be a resource here. But one of the points that God has allowed me over my career is at times he's given me a laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
And this church is a bit of a lab for me.
Okay.
You know, we've got 500-600 people. We've got them plugged into two different groups. One is the baby boomers, which are 45 to 65, born in that time bracket. And then those who are older. And Denise and I, my wife's very involved with this as well, she's really part of this book. But so we work with both sides, both demographics. And so we're trying some things. And that's why we're saying, well, I've got a lab going here. So if I can help anybody or other churches or whatever, I'm willing to be that. And that's something that Tyndale and Focus on the Family have been talking to me about, is that how can you be, you know, would you be willing to be a spokesperson and speak into this? I said, absolutely, because together we can figure this out in a deeper way.
Wow. In that lab, as you speak of, what is something you've seen come out of that, an interaction between those generations or a story you could tell? You're kind of on the front line of this. So what's something that you kind of experienced in that interaction?
Okay. Well, here's a story.
Mm-hmm.
We're fortunate to have good friends. So I'm thinking of one person, and I'll change his name, but we'll call him Bob. And he was responsible for an organization that was, you know, it was government, but it probably had about 4,000 staff in the health field.
Okay.
And then he retired. He wasn't forced to retire. He planned it, and so then he retired, He then started, and the interesting part about it, Dino, is that he would go down to his office downtown Vancouver, and he drove down there for a year, and he'd park in the parking spot, in the parking lot, and he'd look up at his office, and he would just sob.
Mm.
And so I connected with him, or he connected with me, and I said, oh, my goodness, you know, I hurt for you. And I was able to connect him with a few younger entrepreneurial leaders who were struggling with some questions, and he engaged with them, and they developed a deep mentorship relationship, and he came out of it just saying, oh, my goodness, he can't thank me enough, and they have benefited from it.
Yes.
And it was just – but he said, I should have done this from the get-go. And I said, yeah. And here's another story. And I actually tell this. It's not in the book, but it's because I do a biweekly blog, and I write a kind of a devotional theme. I've carried it on for every 2 weeks. I put it out to a distribution list that I have. And in one of them, I tell another story of a friend here at the church who retired, and this is what he decided to do. He decided, money wasn't an issue for him, and he decided in the last year of his retirement that he had the funds, so he was going to do something very different, and he and I had processed this, that he was going to give all of his salary away to different charities, and he was going to invest in the kingdom for 1 year.
Wow.
And Dino, he did it. And he said, you can't believe what that did for myself, for my family, wife and I. And he said, we would sit down and we'd say, okay, I got my paycheck in. Where are we going to give it this time? And because he said, I didn't need the money. I've got lots.
Yeah.
And he was able to do that. And the kingdom investment was absolutely insurmountable. Like he came out of that. He ended up traveling a bit for a couple of ministries that he connected with, and he gave to places that he'd never given to before.
Wow,
it is a wow. And
what a paradigm shift just on that idea of retirement. Of you don't need it, but the impact you can have in another year or two around the world and for the kingdom. That's incredible.
Yeah. And I said, his name's Larry. I said, write this thing down. You've got to write your story down. And that's the other thing I've been saying to folks. Write your story. And he gave it to me, and I put it out there. It's not in this book, but it's in another. Maybe it'd be volume two.
The next one, there you go.
But it was just so encouraging. And he said, if I don't do anything else with my life right now, he said, I've made some connections that will take me through to whatever years. But he has continued to give.
Wow.
It is a wow.
And just that sense of purpose, again, that we spoke of, that's because one of the things that you tend to lose with retirement is that sense of routine. I've had clients over the years where, in a marriage where both spouses get used to a routine, and then one retires and the other one's like, well, I've gotten accustomed to this routine. You've got to find something to go do, because it is it's a huge life change. And it's just, that's one of those things we don't tend to think about, what the impact of not working is going to be. So what's something that, as someone approaches their 50s, mid-50s, or even retirement age, that you think they should probably start thinking about as they get to that stage?
Well, that's a great point. Tyndale actually was, this is a lot of work. But I love them because they really forced me to think through that. And they said, do you have three pieces of advice for the 55 plus to live a life of meaning and purpose? And here's how I would put it, and Denise and I have done this as well. I mean, we're still tweaking it in that. But here's what I would say. Guys and gals, they need to select, this is my words, a small advisory group of no more than 4 to 6 people who will meet with them really on a systematic basis. And it should include younger people. It should be some younger people who think differently than yourself. And they are there to give you counsel, perspective, and to invest in your life as you invest in theirs. And it's all about perspective. So I call it, you know, put together, and, you know, they don't have to be with you forever, but though we've got some people who are, who've been with us for quite a few years. And that, and so it's more of a focus on a small advisory group of a few people who are going, that you're going to meet with, you're going to invest in, but it's more for you as perspective. So that's one. Secondly, I like to use the phrase, catch yourself thinking.
Okay.
Catch yourself thinking. So what are you thinking and processing? And pay attention to this, to that, because people have thoughts, and I use that often in terms of, you know, what, where you're at, what are you thinking about the future? So consistently set goals and put them in writing and catch yourself thinking. And if you're married, then ask your spouse, what do they think? And so my favorite phrase that comes out of that is, what does success look like 12 months from now? And in the world that we're living now with the pandemic, you can't plan any longer than 12 months. I mean, it's hard to plan at times even in 12 weeks. But it's really consistently putting down a few goals and being more purposeful oriented. And then the final one, the third point is, and this is, I'm not the best at this, Dino, but I'm trying, is be good at saying no.
Okay.
It's that old phrase, the enemy of the best is the good. And so that becomes even more significant as we age. And so I talk, and I'm doing that as well. I'm trying to be more purposeful, and I request to be involved here and there and so on. And I'm really trying to, I use my little advisory group, but I'm trying to be, to practice, you know, I don't have to be involved in everything. Now, I know some people are not involved in anything, but as you open the door, I want to encourage your readers, as you open this door, mm-hmm. you're going to get people coming to you. So you got to be strategic because you only have so much capacity.
That's true. That's true. And that kind of leads me to one of my last questions is, if you could talk about, I really enjoyed the DOP, you know, as far as making those decisions and how to choose what to allow in and what to say no to. Could you talk about that DOP process?
Oh, yeah. Boy, that came out of, that's a favorite piece. We didn't originate. I think it actually came out of Fuller. Denise and I have used that over the years, and where we didn't, I've gotten in trouble. I'm a risk taker. I'm not so much of a risk taker any longer, but I have taken risks, and I've moved ahead because I have a finance background. You know, I'm a CPA, I have an MBA, and so on. But I think I know it all, but I don't. So what Denise and I decided to do, we heard about this, is that he said, we are going to adopt this DOP principle, which is desire, opportunity, and peace. And so when you're thinking about what's next, obviously you have to have the desire, and you need to have the opportunity. You also need peace, and that comes from counsel, but it also comes from the Holy Spirit. And so you may have the desire, and you may have peace about doing something, but you don't have the opportunity, you don't move ahead. And you don't try and force it. It is all about waiting and waiting patiently on God. And I've got a situation right now with a person who it's a couple, and they were going to go to Europe to teach, and they have peace about it. They believe that's what God wants them. They have the desire, and the opportunity has changed, and they're struggling with that. And they called me about it, and I was on a phone call with them, and I said, okay, the DOP principle isn't working, isn't lining up. So just relax. God's in charge. So the point, Dino, is that it's desire, opportunity, and peace need to line up. And if you're married, the three of you need to be on the same page. And if one of you doesn't have peace, you don't move forward.
Wow. And that's hard.
And it's in the bigger issues of life, obviously.
Sure.
It's not you know, like it's not whether, right, you know, should we go to Tim Hortons or Starbucks? And you can tell I just am Canadian when I said Tim Hortons.
Yeah, Tim Hortons, that's what I was thinking, yeah. But it's nice to have a process for that, because that's often one of the things that either hold people back from doing anything, or on the flip side of just taking on too much. And so I think it's really powerful to have some kind of process to that, to filter things through. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. So we've used it and practiced it. And let me give you one more piece of what when I talk about a lab, and because we're looking for how can we learn and how can we be examples. And so here at the church, we're offering the Alpha Marriage course session. It's all online, and we've probably got about 70 couples in it right now. Started last Wednesday, and one of the pastors came and said to Denise and I, would you be mentors in this? Would you be marriage mentors? We said, we'd love to do it. And so we're making ourselves available, and we pulled in two other couples as well, who are our age, and I went to them and I said, you need to be involved in this. And they were all over it. And so as they go through the course, we're mentors. Now, we're not counselors, and if they need counseling, we'll refer them to a counseling center, which we have. But we're mentors just to help them process, and they're all younger people.
Wow.
And so Denise and I are looking forward to that. You know, part of it is coming out of focus on the family as well. But so we feel, well, that's a practical way to try this and see how it works.
And again, it speaks to sharing your past experiences, and then also sharing experiences, but also the example. You know, and I think young people need an example of what that future could possibly look like, and that it is possible, especially when it comes to marriage with the statistics on that. So that's incredible.
And you know, the whole world of gray divorces. I mean, that's another issue. You know, that's escalating as well, and so it's. So we said, well, we're in the lab, and we're going to try some stuff as we move forward.
That's wonderful. Well, Bruce, the book is coming out when? We can share that with
It's coming out next on the 1st, February 1st, and I'm actually just finishing this afternoon the audio version of it at the Focus on the Family Canada studio up here. And so it's going to come out, and we're in touch with Care for the Family, which is in the UK. I have a good friend over there, which they're going to use it over there too. So I'm honored. I'm thrilled. I'm just, the whole thing is surreal to me, to be quite honest.
Well, congratulations. I read the whole book. I highly recommend it. It's something that I think a lot of people in this age demographic will definitely benefit from, and it's quite needed actually. So you touched on pretty much all of the things I've seen in my own clients' lives in that, you know, 50-plus section. So I think it's highly powerful. And how can they reach your blog and website just to kind of get more of these nuggets from you?
Well, they can reach me through Tyndale.
Okay.
But they can also reach me, you know, with my email as well. We're just in the process of setting up a blog like a site for it. I haven't got it set up yet. But I'm glad to give my email, and I'll give it to you. It's bruce@mentormatrix.com. Mentor is like M-E-N-T-O-R. Matrix like the movie, mentormatrix.com.
Right. Great.
And I'm glad for people.
Will there be like down the road once maybe, you know, COVID gets out, or either Zoom of speaking or meetings? Because it's definitely, I think, a huge opportunity for the segments of the population that would love to hear you speak on this, whether it's online or in person. But
I would look forward because it's a God thing, Dino, and the way it's unfolding, and we're hearing. So we're saying, okay, and I got a few people around me, my advisory group, and we're just restructuring some of this involvement to be able to multiply. That's my word for 2021 is multiplication. And so how do I multiply myself and to be able to help to speak virtually or in person once we get to that point? So I'm glad to do that.
Yeah. Well, on that note, I think COVID has really kind of shown us, you know, it's hard to say there's some positives that have come out of it, but I think it's kind of shown people the need of being interconnected and that the issue of isolation, because it is kind of a forced retirement for many people of being in lockdown. And the idea may sound appealing, you know, when you're at work and you're thinking of kind of retiring, but when you're forced to kind of, you know, be alone and locked down and not have those things in your life that give you purpose and meaning and connection, I think it's going to kind of really be another level of forcing people to reevaluate what retirement looks like. And do you really want to sit back and start doing things?
I hope so. I really do believe it is, because it's causing people to think through, and it's causing pain, and there is grieving going on because they can't travel, you know, like they did before. So they're working through, and people are 55 plus are being, I hate to use this word forced, but they are being forced to rethink.
Yes.
And that's a good thing. I really believe that's a good thing.
Yeah. Wow. Well, for me personally, as it ties into you, because I'm in the over 40 and over 50 fitness arena, and for me, it's about having people have the strength and energy to be able to accomplish their calling on their lives. Because you may have the background experience, but as we get older, there's aches and pains, issues of energy and lethargy, and so of being equipped and empowered to accomplish the calling that God has on your life. So I feel like this just goes hand in hand of some of the life lessons and the encouragement and lessons to be able to kind of come hand in hand to equip people to do just that. So I really enjoyed the book, and I think you're spot on with everything that's in there.
Dino, thank you. Yeah, that's a great encouragement. You know, you wonder when you put something out like this, authors, you know, one, it's never finished.
Yes.
And two, is anybody going to like this stuff?
well, I can personally attest to you're spot on. I've written the book as well in the past, and I know the thoughts you're speaking of, but you hit the nail on the head, and I think people are going to get a lot out of this, and I definitely recommend all of our readers to go ahead and get this book when it comes out.
Thank you so much. And if we can connect again, I'd look forward to that.
I would love that. Thank you so much, Bruce. I enjoyed it, and look forward to seeing more of what you do in the future.
Okay, Dino. All right. Blessings to you.
You too. Thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye.